as he was saying, worthy is the Lamb. And as we have heard so many times, we did sing. And I was wondering when God shared with me that I was preached today on worthy, I was kind of panicking. Because it was always very difficult for me to understand why was Jesus the only one that was worthy. And why can God in his almightiness make a great plan? Why was it that being so gruesome and so horrible? But I think God wants to sort me out. And so I'm going to share with you what he shared with me. So first we're going to look at when is someone worthy. And the dictionary says worthy means deserving respect, admiration, or support. And when you had a robe worthy certificate or a C-worthy certificate, it makes you that you're kind of safe or you're able to drive or it's like trustworthy, creditworthy, newsworthy. And the dictionary also says in a small town, an important person sending people feels that he's also worthy and deserving. When we go to the Strong's, that is the dictionary for Greek and Hebrew, I only highlighted a few. There was about 14 different types of explanations for deserving, worthy. The first was axios, and that means deserving, comparable, or suitable, thanks to show, and due rewards. The other one was to deem, entitled, or fit, desire, think good, count, think worthy. The last one was to deem entirely deserving, count, or worthy. Deserving, worthy, young. So, why was Jesus worthy? And why had he been worthy? And worthy of what was he? I read this statement that it says, if we do not see Jesus Christ as worthy, we will stay in bondage to earn Jesus Christ, to earn our freedom, our salvation, all the fruit that comes with it. And that's when we will we want to earn the Holy Spirit, God, heaven, favor. We have to add on them. Because Jesus was, if we do not perceive him as worthy, we want to help a little to make him kind of worthy, or make us feel worthy to receive. And that's such an old thinking. It's such an old thinking. So let's just pray. Let's pray that God will really open our hearts up. Father, we come to you today, Father. And I just pray, as it says in Hebrew, today as the Holy Spirit speaks, do not harden your hearts like rebellious people, like those in the Israelites before. But let us come humbly, with soft hearts, open up our hearts to hear the Holy Spirit, to hear, to receive and to make it our own what you want to bless us with, this info or revelation. Help us to come in line, to synchronize, to harmonize with Jesus Christ, whom he is, Lord. May our hearts be filled with the Holy Spirit. May our thinking and understanding come in line and, or stay in line with who you are, Jesus Christ. Father, as I prayed before, also circumcise and that's done, speak that it will be your message. What is on your heart for us today? Be glorified, our God, our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. But so I want to repeat this statement. If we do not see Jesus Christ as worthy, we will stay in bondage. We will want to earn it. So okay, we all know I think all of us here know that Jesus was worthy. Why was Jesus Christ worthy? What was the criteria? Would you like to share with each other? Okay, quickly, with one minute, just share with each other quickly. Why Jesus Christ worthy, and what was the criteria?
Just one thinking.
He cannot say, know where that little sin you can enter, but that house, just not. And he's not like that. One sin in his own. When Satan rebelled against God in heaven, he was an angel. So he was created by God as the other angels. And when he rebelled, that pride, he thought, man, I can also be as cool as God. And he was actually a very cool angel. He was the angel of music. And when he walked, seemingly, the sound was beautiful as he walked. So I can understand why he got a little stuck in being prideful. But when he had that, he was kicked out. God cannot stand that. There is that level, it is just, you cannot do that. I don't know how it will be with us when we are in heaven. If I sin there, I don't know if you can sin there. Sorry, it's another topic. But, so, God's standard is so, so high that the only, I don't want to even say person, but the only something that could stand, that could take our sin on him was Jesus, because he was God. He was also sovereign, righteous, and unchangeable. He could stand at that level. So that's why God was prepared to let Jesus do that, to take that thing until death, going to hell on behalf of us. It must have been horrible to Adam, to a father also, and they are even more unity than whoever person can be in unity with you. It's such an interwoven unity, we cannot really understand it. So it must have been horrible for both of them. But God chose Jesus. Why? Why didn't he just say, oh man, chuck all these people? Because he's God. Because he loves us. And he wanted reconciliation with us. He wanted us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to know him. That's why he was prepared to let Jesus come and do this. So, when I prepared this God put on my heart Hebrews, the first few verses of Hebrews. And the next slide says, Jesus is worthy. And it goes on here about earlier angels were to worship God. In the Old Testament, we cannot find Jesus a lot. We find God. Yeah? God created the earth as God, Jesus, it was always spoken and prophesied over a Messiah or someone who would come and rescue us or redeem us. But I think even the Hebrew people didn't really know in what form it would be, how it would be. They just knew God as a plan. So in the Old Testament, we really earlier angels were to worship God. Now in Hebrews, we see that they have to worship Jesus. And then earlier God was responsible for creation. Now in Hebrews we see Jesus was responsible for creation. It always confused me because I always wondered who was now responsible. Was it God the Father? Was it Jesus? Was it all three of them? Yes, I think it was all three of them. Because the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. In Genesis it said. But here they give it to Jesus. Jesus. It is Hebrews 1 verse 10, created the earth. There's many extra examples, but I only want to stick to these two. What it wants to say is, Jesus, the Son of God, is God. And this is what Scott Brown, he stated it like this. Jesus, the Son of God, is God. And why this is important to the Hebrew people, or to the letter that was written to the Hebrews was, they thought angels are supernatural beings, which I think they are. And that was the closest to a God, what they thought. So if someone could save us, it should have been an angel, because they are super cool and super spiritual. And then here, this comes solidly and says, no, it's not an angel. It is the Son of God. He's God. And people who believe in the Old Testament and not so much in the New Testament, with our street evangelism on Thursday, I spoke to a lady and she said she believes that she's a Muslim. But I could hear her religion is not solidly on that. But she says she believes in Jesus and yes, he's a prophet, but he will come and rescue them when he comes again. Now, normally that's not what I believe. But and then we ask her, if he is a prophet, why can't Muhammad come there? Because he was also a prophet. Why must it be Jesus? Now and then she didn't know. But so it's important to know that Jesus was the Son of God and he is God. For us, I think that's not such an issue because we grew up actually with the thought of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I also didn't know that the Jehovah Witnesses, they think that Michael the Archangel is actually Jesus, the Son of God. That he came from heaven and he died and he was resurrected by God. And because he was so cool that he was resurrected, God gave him the place of sitting on the right hand side of him. And they say that is the Archangel Michael. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Yeah, in Hebrew, and there's other places in the world as well, we hear clearly that Jesus is the Son of God, he is God. So because he is God, he was worthy. And as I said in the beginning, God's standards, criteria were so high, he couldn't be someone else. God couldn't create something else. He was created angels, but they were not good enough. They were not good enough to reconcile us with God. So, so we're going to look we can go to the next slide. We appreciate God's, Jesus' worthiness by recognizing divine attributes. So he's God, so that's it. He is God. And then because he is God, he has awesome attributes, and that's that high criteria, that's that high standard. No one else could go to. We're going to quickly look at three. There are more, but as I felt God focused me on Hebrews, we're just going to focus on this three. The first one is sovereignty. We read in Hebrews 1, verse 5 to 6. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship you. So here we see that he's going against that angels was good enough, and that Jesus could have been an angel. It's really important to understand that he was not an angel. And begotten, do you know what is begotten? I wonder what. My English is not so good, but begotten is ready to say, this is my son. I take you, my son. This is my son. And the verse just after that says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And no one else got that privilege. God never spoke, yes, we are his daughters and his sons, because we are adopted. But we are not from origin, his son. This is only to Jesus that he says this. And in Hebrews 1 verse 3, I didn't write it down there, but he also says that Jesus, through Jesus the world was created, and he sustains it, he keeps it alive, he keeps it going on. I think it's a hard job to let all the creation carry on with what they are doing, the plants, the sun, the universe, us, to let us breathe, to remind our hearts to carry on, to everything is in his control. And then in Hebrews 1 verse 13 to 14, and to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand side, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? And they not all ministering Are they not all ministers, the spirits, sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So here we hear clearly what is the angel's job. No. But that are ministering spirits sent out by God to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation, and that's us. That's us believers. So they are here to support us. They are sent out to us to be supported, but they are not by God always. Yeah, they are sent for a job, if I understand it correctly. So God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit's presence always with us, but the angels are sent. They are ministering spirits. When Jesus sits on the right hand of God, it is a position of authority. It is a position of power. Nothing else can sit there. There's no creature or created being that is worthy of sitting there. It's just Jesus. He can do that. And God gave him that position. And he is reigning over the world. And often, we think we are reigning. And we need to be in control. And this whole excursion of planting this church here, coming here, was such a faith stretch for me. Just to let it go, to give it to God, to Jesus. He is in control. We cannot control the sunset or how the earth is spinning or where is the moon's position. We cannot control time, space, and we cannot actually even control people. We can manipulate them, but that's also not cool. But we cannot control, but we have so much stress because we want to. We want to control. We want to be in control. But actually, God says, but Jesus reigns. He's in control. He lets the sun come, the seasons, everything. We don't even have to worry about it. I don't think any of us worry so much about seasons. But when it doesn't rain in South Africa, we worry. I think the Dutch will also worry if it doesn't rain in a week. Also, but it's difficult to trust Jesus, and I think it's difficult because we do not understand how well he is, how much God is. If you think of your boss, of course you cannot trust him 100%. There will always be something that, because he's a created being, he's a man or a woman. So we struggle to trust, and when we had to come here, and God told us to not bring a container and only our suitcases, it was tough for me to trust to let go. And he was so faithful. So yes, he does stretch your faith, and it does stretch you to trust God more, but it's actually very cool and very awesome, because it's your relationship. You start to understand. You start to understand God better. But then you must let go of your own control. And that's a very super scary place. Okay. God is in his sovereignty. Oh yeah, this is what I'm going to share. We can go with you guys to the next slide. Why are we still struggling? If Jesus reigns, then you can think, okay, Jesus conquered the grave, conquered Satan, conquered sin, so why are we still struggling? It doesn't make sense. He is now good. So why is Satan also have an answer? And then this is what this guy, this Scott God also said. God in his sovereignty allows the presence of evil for a time for his own purposes. But there will come a time when evil is completely subdued, when Jesus delivers over his kingdom, which encompasses all creation to the Father. We know that Jesus will come back, and we know that then that is finished. It's over. But meanwhile, yes, Jesus is in control of the lot, but we still have choices, and often we make wrong choices, and the enemy is around on earth still. So it is difficult for us to now I give to you to choose. And he did choose for us. And it's actually an awesome adventure. It's a little old-fashioned, I think. It's awesome. Okay, Jesus is God the King. Angels, on the other hand, are ministry spirits who serve the King. You know that already. Okay, then the second thing, that was sovereignty. So Jesus is sovereign. He reigns over this earth, over the earth, and over everything that was created. He keeps it, that it's living and growing, and I want to say hanging in there, carrying on. And then the second thing of God and Jesus is that are righteous. And it says here, he hated lawlessness. In Hebrews 1, verse 79. Well, the angels, he says, he makes his angels wings and his ministers a flame of fire. That just says that he made them, and they come and go. It's not that they are always there. He makes them wings, wings come and go, and that's and the flame of fire is found. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The center of unrighteousness is the center of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So, here it says that Jesus, like his Father, loved righteousness. They lived righteous. They hate lawlessness. That's the opposite of righteousness. When I read the Amplified, it says, we are righteous, and then in brackets it says, in right standing with God. Yeah. So, when we say Jesus is righteous, he's in right standing with God. So they are in unity. What God loves, he loves. What God hates, he hates. So, us being righteous is supposed to mean the same. When we are in right relationship with God, it means we love what God loves. We hate what God hates. When we look at the next slide, it says, how do we understand righteousness? Paul in Romans says, okay, now, who is righteous? And then he says, there is no one who seeks for God. All have turned aside. He says, no one is righteous. All of us are struggling. One who is righteous, then, is one who seeks for God. And Jesus was so in unity with God that he was kind of like a fingerprint. He was the representation of God on earth. So he was a, I know it's very earthly words that I use, but like identical twin, even more than identical twin, he was a copy of God on earth. It says, and righteousness does not primarily mean thinking the right thoughts or doing the right things. It means knowing and loving God. And here the relationship thing comes in, knowing God. We are many servants of what it means to know, to be known, intimately know. To know God means you have relationship with him. If I know of your niece's mom that lives in South Africa, he doesn't. I know it and I believe it that she has a mom and she has a relationship with her, and I can even sing a song to her mom and perhaps she will receive it, but it doesn't make a relationship. We can come to church, we can sing a song to God, we can know that there is a God, and we really think there is a God and we believe there is a God. It doesn't make that you have a relationship. We need a relationship. That's why Jesus came. To restore, to reconcile us with God, to have a relationship. And I just want to go a little further with this relationship. It means that you have to make time for this relationship. If I speak to Dad only on Sunday during the service, and we worship together, and I also worship him and say, I'll be cool and I love you. And perhaps I'll pray together with others. And that was my only communication with that. I can tell you, we will not have a relationship. So we really desperately need that reconciliation. We need to have a relationship with God. And then Jesus was 100% righteous, because what he loved, God loved. Or the other way around, God loved, he loved. And the ultimate thing was for him in Gethsemane. We know that he was praying and asking his Father, can this pass? He knew what was coming. He knew the crucifixion was coming. He knew the torture was coming. He knew it was horrible. And he just asked God, was there another way? Could it be? The same as what I always thought. Can there be another way? But he loved his Father, and he wanted to do his will. And when his dad said, no, this is the way, and he loved us, and he knew we needed reconciliation with God. So he was so righteous, because he had a relationship with God. He did exactly what his Father wanted, although in his heart he dreaded it, but he did it to us. Righteousness is knowing God, and righteous thoughts and actions which concern love for others spring from relationship with God. In the Netherlands, often people say, I'm a good person, but they don't believe in God. But actually, being a good person is fruit from God. It is fruit from being God-like. They don't realize it. They don't understand that that's part of a godliness. They just think it's good, it's cool, and it's the right thing to do. But if you ask them where it comes from, they don't know. They just say, because it is. But we know it's principles, it's what we are taught, that's what God is. This is actually my standing with God. So it's good that many people, I think other people have the reputation of it, that's why they wanted to live in God's way. And now they lost the relationship with God, but they still do the right thing sometimes. I'll stop then. We can have a discussion about it later. Unrighteousness is a rejection of God and unrighteous thoughts and actions, which concern disregard and hatred for others, spring from alienation from God. And we see it in some religions. I was thinking about the Islam and all the religions coming here. Not all of them are Islam, but many of them. And then I think it's such a horrible religion, actually, that you hate us. God says we must hate Satan. So, but to hate other persons, no, it's difficult. It is. God says we must pray for our enemy. It's not that we must make them. We must hate evil. Yes, that we must do. But as being Christ-like, being followers of Christ, being righteous, we must do the good thing. We must help them. That's our thing. Okay, the last thing. No, nearly there. Immutable. Unchanging. What? A pleasure to know that God, Jesus, they do not change. I have moved. I remember when I was still younger and I struggled with PMS. And then my children sometimes will ask me, Mommy, can we have this or can we have this? And I say, today is not a good day to ask. You will get to know. Ask me in 2 days' time, then I'll do better. God is never like that. He never changes. He's not moody. He has emotions, but he is not moody. He's not, oh no, not today. I don't listen to the night today. And everything changes. everything changes. And this is so cool, where in Hebrews 1, verse 10 to 12, it says, and you, Lord, lay the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your ears will have melody. Doesn't it give you security? Just at least God is not changing. He is the same. And that is one of the criteria that Jesus could die, could take all our sins on him. Because he is the same. He doesn't say he is God enough to do that. And my last slide is, he is worthy. Jesus, the Son of God, he is sovereign, he is in control. He is righteous, he is good. He is immutable, he never changes. He reigns righteously, and his righteous reign will never end. Jesus died, and he went to hell, because that was where we had to go. We had to go. And it's a horrible place. And I think when Jesus arrived in hell, I think Satan was jumping up and down and thinking, yes, I've conquered him, I've conquered him. It must have been such torture and torment for Jesus. But he conquered Satan, he conquered sin, he conquered death. And because of that, if we understand how worthy Jesus is, because he could do that, we can actually just do this. We know we needed this. Without him, you're stuck. We are more than stuck. And I want to ask you, do we respond to Jesus' worthiness? Do we understand in our hearts how worthy he is and was and will always be? And it's not about how good we are or active in church or how awesome person you are. And nothing. It only depends on one thing. It's just a matter of worth. Do you understand that Jesus is worthy? He's worthy of making us reconciled with God. And that is the utmost gift. That is the utmost thing that he could give us in God. I'm going to ask you, do you recognize this and do you react on this? And can you say, Lord, you are worth more than anything I have ever in my own life? I remember that one of our pastors always says, you must die to yourself. And I really didn't know what that means. But it is to lay down all your wants, all your planning, all your stuff. And just give it to Jesus. Just give it to God and say, Lord, here I am. Show me. And trust that. But we are really desperately in need of Jesus to be reconciled. And he is free. I'm going to pray with you for us, and I want to, during the prayer, if there's anything that really stirred you, come, let us pray with you, let's pray with, let's affirm and confirm.